Welcome to another episode of Deal Talk. I'm Deal. Let's talk. My guests of the evening are two extraordinaire when it comes to entrepreneurship. Ladies and gentlemen, good warm welcome to King Nito and the one and only, the realist, Nick Espinosa. What's the show, on, man? How are you?
What's going on, everybody?
Thank you, Dio, for having us on here.
Thank you.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
How you guys been?
Yeah, working, man. You know, life's just busy, right? We're getting older. We got a lot of stuff going on. So, yeah, it's crazy how much time flies by. Because it was, last summer we did ours, our show, right?
Last year.
Yeah, it flies by, man.
Nah, time been flying by. You know, being a dad is awesome. it's amazing. Amen. It's fun. I helped raise four kids, you know, two mine, but they all my kids at the end of the day, regardless.
God bless.
But you know, it's amazing. You know, I'm getting to learn the other two kids and I'm just like, damn. You know, like they coming to you, talking to you, and they're just like, Mr. Nick, like,
and eating all the food in the fridge.
Yeah, and they're talking like they're telling me like their school days, just like my daughters would. They'll say, "Hey, can we go to the park? Can you take me to school? Or like, are you coming to get me today?" And this, that, like, and it's an amazing feeling, you know. And like everybody know me, like Nick, I love the kids, you know. I don't treat kids wrong. I treat them as my own to an extent when they're not mine. But
Nick love the kids.
Nick love the kids. Yes, I love the kids. Like I have a pure, genuine love, and like always, people will be like, "Well, how can you deal with people's kids that's not yours?"
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people all the time. I said, "Look, I'm a man first and foremost."
Yeah,
I said.
Now, I want to piggyback on this real quick before you go on.
Uh-huh.
He really does love the kids because somebody had a weird ass name on Call of Duty one night.
Oh,
it says something about the kids. And he went off on them. He was like, "Wait a minute. What you mean by that name, bro?" He's like, "That's weird." He's like, "Do you have kids?" He's like, "No, I don't got kids." He's like, "So that's weird, man, that you don't got kids. But you say something." I forgot what his name was. It was weird though, right?
It was weird. I know. Before... I'm a comment on that, but I'm gonna just say this one part real quick.
Yeah.
The whole thing is, as me being a man, I believe it's our responsibility to help raise these children, whether they ours or not. I don't care who you are. You're not a man if you can't do that because these kids out here, they're future kings and queens. Mm-hmm. So any type of good advice and good guidance and mentorship that we are able to give these kids, I believe is your duty no matter what. I don't care who you are. I don't care what color you are. You could be an alien for all I care. It is your duty to help guide these children on a better path in life. Mm. No matter where you come from, no matter what shade, what background, I do not care. I'm a firm believer in that, and that's who I am. I always stuck with that. 100%. I have a lot of kids that call me Uncle Nick, call me Mr. Nick. Some call me Dad. Like, you're like another dad to me. Like, and it's because I give them my time and love when I'm able to, or when they reach out to me, I never turn them down.
It's like a community big brother program, basically.
Yes. It's like that. Yeah. And I don't have a big brother program, but I do it myself because... Yeah. Like, these kids need guidance, especially in today's world.
Mm.
Now, to speak on the person you was talking about, Nito.
Yeah.
That guy, because ironically, it's funny you mentioned that. I literally rewatched that video because I did screen record it. And I said, I really, like, want in on a guy. And his name was I Love Children.
Oh, yeah.
That was his name, and it triggered me because, you already know, I got
daughters. Because he had that gold dust type sounding voice, too.
Yeah, and you can hear how he sounded. He sounded very perverted a little bit.
Yeah. He sounded like gold dust.
I don't care if it's an online game or not, or if we was in person. I still would have wanted Adam on the strip. And I'm like, yo, that's you sound like a pedophile. You sound like some pedophilish stuff. And I'm like, as a father of daughters, you know what I'm saying? And the mentor,
I got 2.5 years
out here
myself.
I destroyed that dude. Like, Needle had to cut the live stream.
You called them the correct term was reading rainbow.
Yeah, I called him a reading rainbow monster. I said, what you think, Mr. Rogers, you little weirdo? It was so crazy because, and I remember it because I was just like, I'm just thinking, I'm like, you listen to what he said. And I'm like. Yeah.
He said something questionable.
He said some questionable things. Yeah, I can't remember. As a man.
And that's the thing about
the online
community.
Bro, what you doing?
That's the thing about the online community, especially the gaming community. Like, people talk on the gaming world like there's no consequences for what you say to people. You know what I'm saying? Or what you say about your thoughts and actions. Like, people just say the most craziest things online, and there's no regulation on that, which is kind of crazy because some people say some things that make you want to put like a watch list on them or something. You know what I mean? Like, damn, what the hell is that?
They said some crazy stuff online, social media, gaming channels, and all that. Like, people really be really on some stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, like, it just took me to, like, a dark mode. And I was like, man, I'm going to destroy this dude. Like, I don't care who he is. I'm going to find him. I'm going to beat the living dog crap out of him.
He sounded like he was worried about his IP address being discovered or something.
Yeah, because,
he's like, oh, damn, that guy sounded mad.
That's how I really got, because I was just, I'm like, one thing I don't respect, see, I don't like criminals, period. I don't. But I can understand certain criminal stuff. Like, all right, you're a thief. You assaulted somebody, but when it comes to like child molest and rapist and serial killers and stuff
criminal,
like that,
that's like just dark. Like,
you give me any vibe like that as a human being, like, dog, I personally want to destroy you. I don't care who you are. If you give me that vibe, like, it's gonna take it takes me to a place. And
that's not human. That stuff. When you look at all this stuff that's going on with Ryan Garcia right now, is crazy. I just started, like, did you see that deal?
I saw something that he had disappeared and they had him hostage.
It was some crazy stuff, man.
And
he was, like,
they froze his bank account, something like that.
Yeah, he was going on his Kanye rant. Yeah, but he was exposing some stuff, man. This elite world is crazy too. There's a lot of crazy stuff in this world. But before I get away from it, what you were saying, Nick, how it's important for every kid to have father figure, parent, I 100% believe that, because, like, not to get all religious on y'all, but I've been on my real spiritual path lately, and I've always come back, you know, I've always been a Christian since birth, but I've been through my own book of life now, my trials and tribulations, and it brought me to a lot of understandings. And if you go to the book of Matthew and talk about parables of Jesus, says, he talks in parables all the time. He's the first lyricist. You know what I mean? He's like, he talked about we're the salt of the world. And that's so deep. Like, people don't realize that. Like we flavor the world. And it's not just flavor, but we as humans, we're salt to the earth. So whatever we put into the earth is like, we're rooting ourselves into the earth. We're changing its environment. We're changing the way it reacts, the way the world moves. So with you saying that about how kids need fathers, they do, because if salt loses, like, it even says that in the same parable, if salt loses its saltiness, then it's not of any value. You know, it's actually detrimental to the earth.
Correct.
So, you know what I mean? It's like every person that is born in this world, regardless where they're from, regardless what background they come from or what type of money they come from, we're all kings and queens where we can really flourish this world, and we can build a beautiful garden around us by the thoughts we have, by the actions we do. And we need guidance in those situations, because there are, like you said, man, it's a crazy time right now. Philly just had, like, I think it was broad daylight right where I used to live. 8 people just got shot today at a SEPTA bus stop.
Damn.
Yeah, again, it was one yesterday and
yesterday too.
One today. Like, that's technically, they were mass shootings. Technically, if I'm not mistaken, the definition of it, that's basically what that was. And these are dudes that's 15 to 17 years old. And it might have been grown men that came out and hurt them dudes. Like, I don't know the whole gist of what happened with it. Obviously, you know, it's on the news, it gets reported. The Citizens app, you'll get a notification.
Yeah,
but the whole thing is, when you just look at it, these communities, like, they don't realize that if all that corny stuff stopped, because all that's what it is. This stuff is corny. Half the stuff that's happening in these communities is so pathetic. Like, the arguments that lead up to these shootings, it's not even legitimate reasons why all this stuff is happening sometimes.
People die for stepping on somebody's shoe, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, you could die for bumping into somebody now. You know what I'm saying? And so, like me, like I said, I was born and raised in Philly, grew up in North, you know, I had to fight my battles and everything. But I mean, did I ever have to shoot my gun? Yeah, twice, you know, but it's self-defense from random individuals trying to rob me for no reason. I'm just trying to go to the stores, stuff like that. You know what I mean? And, you know, so
it's like that in New York too, but it's not like Philly. Philly's even extra. Yeah.
Like I ain't do that until I was in my late 20s. You know what I'm saying? But when I was 15, 16, 17, 18, bro, I went everywhere in Philly. I'm talking about on the bus everywhere.
Yeah.
Never really had no issues. I used to go to every coast in Philadelphia, every park.
Yeah.
And never had issues. Obviously, you knew certain blocks to avoid. Mm-hmm. But even with that being said, like, some of them dudes, like, nowadays you see the crew of dudes, you got to be wary of them. When I was younger and I saw a crew of dudes, like, I used to think for like a split second, like, yo, they might try to jump me. No, they were actually chill. You know, they weren't on that type of time. And, you know, I'm 34, about to be 35. So, and I'd be telling people, I'm like, yo, what we used to do and all this other stuff. Like, we fought each other and this and third. And some people got jumped, some people didn't. But we never was really, no one was picking up guns and shooting.
We was young too in New York, man. We would be taking a train, riding a bus. We used to go to Manhattan for Times Square for the ball drop, and we would link up with people from the Bronx, from Brooklyn, and you actually would have a good time with somebody you never even met. You just be in New Yorkers chilling together, you know, might be sipping something, like, hey, you want to try mine? I tell you, pass the bottles off. You know, we used to do that, and I mean, situations happened, but it was more isolated. It wasn't like anybody could get it like nowadays. Nowadays, you could be a complete innocent citizen and still get caught up in something, you know?
So you had nothing to do with. You just walking by. You just trying to get home, you know? And like, it's crazy. And that's why I'm glad I drive, because, you know, I'm like, I wouldn't mind catching public transportation, but nowadays, I'll be on the news real quick, and like, you be like, oh man, he probably shot at somebody on a bus or train, because I'm like, yo, they trying to get me, you know what I'm saying?
I was on a train last year in Philly on the L. On the L, and somebody was eating pistachios and just spitting all the shells right in the seat next to her, like, somebody could be sitting there, right? And she was just spitting them all over the seat, like, real disrespectful, like nobody else was there. And I'm just like, yo, this is crazy. I couldn't ride the train every day. I couldn't ride the bus anymore every day. I used to do that in New York every day for work. And it's like, nah, yeah. As you get older, you realize it's not even that it's just not safe to be around, but it's intolerable at our age too, as men. You're like, yo, why are people so okay with just disrespecting others? You know what I'm saying? When we're riding together, we're all going somewhere. Why is it okay to just, like, not consider your neighbor's space? You know what I mean?
No, that's true. And you know,
like we all God's children. We all God's children, man. How can you look at your neighbor like they're nothing?
And that's true too. But see, that's the thing too. I was talking to a friend of mine a couple days ago. We was talking about that. And I said, look, I said the issue is when they start. I said the reason I personally believe that a lot of stuff that's happening today is because none of these kids know God or Allah, whatever everybody want to call it. You know, some people call it something different and everything, but I tell everybody at the end of the day, y'all pray to the same thing, whether you want to admit it or not.
And listen, I stick to my guns on this because I got a lot of heat for this from Christian people. Mm-hmm. Allah means God above. That's all Allah means. So there are Arabic Christians that call God Allah.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Everyone acts like, oh, that's a different God. They're praying to somebody else. They're praying to the devil. I'm like, no, Allah means the God. That's what it means.
Exactly. And I tell people, it's just the same way. I said, and even when Scott, like if a scholar that studies it faithfully and this and third, and I said, sometimes you got to realize, sometimes the smartest people that have read the book a million times skip over a certain fact where it points out that this is this. It tells you this stuff. And it's right there in your face. That's why I laugh at people sometimes. I'll be like, that's look, at the end of the day, we praying the same thing. But the whole thing is, it's none of these kids don't know God. They don't pray. They're this generation and
they used to make you pray in school before you started,
the last
right?
of our generation, that's where it starts changing too. I can't just put it on this new generation because this new generation is some of the kids from some of our products of our generation kids. You know, they're kids basically.
Yeah, we can't act so innocent too. You know what I'm saying? Because our generation had some wrongdoing in it too.
Yeah, so like I tell people all the time, when I was younger, my mom's Catholic, right? Mm. My father, he was Baptist or Zionist. One, I don't know, Baptist Zionist. I'm not sure, but I did go to church Sundays. Mm. And my mom, she never forced Catholic on us, but she always told us we'll find our way to God. Mm. You know what I'm saying? She said, I'll tell you this, because I'm not going to force religion on you like it was forced on me. Mm. She said straight up, there is a God, you will find your way. Mm. Rather you're a Christian, Catholic, Muslim, Jewish, whatever. She said, you will find a way. She said, at the end of the day, and this is one thing I always appreciated my mother for doing that, because that is how I found my way. Like, that's how I knew. And she said, any person that tries to force religion on you is not doing the right thing. They said, their job is to just spread the word and tell you, and then you take it from there, and you make the choice. It's the self-conscious choice, basically, to do it. So that's how my mom always raised us. And like, my mom never forced Catholic on us. You know, my mom, she's still Catholic to this day. She still do her fast and Lent and stuff like that. But the thing is, she never forced it. But also, she always made sure we knew what God was, who Jesus or Yeshua, whichever one people want to say was.
Yeah, even in Aramaic, his name is...
stories in the Bible, but also...
Isha.
She always made sure we knew the Ten Commandments. Mm. And then she told us a little bit later, now I'm going to tell you a secret, like there's more than Ten Commandments. A lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah.
But she gave us the basis to function, but also told us about, like, we're not perfect, but these right here, these rules you need to follow.
Yeah.
You need to understand this. And
to like, have like a moral compass.
I went to Catholic school before. So, we read the Ten Commandments every day.
Yeah.
You know? And even after Catholic school, before they start changing public school and stuff like that, like, we had teachers that tell us about God, that tell us, like, they wouldn't force it down you, but they tell us the difference between doing right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And understand it and the basics of praying and knowing that there's something out there that eventually you get to meet and you'll understand, you have true understanding. Like it used to be like that. And then once they start separating the church from the school, the church from the state and stuff like that, all that shit went out the window.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They took freedom to a whole new meaning.
I believe now, the Ten Commandments should be at every damn school.
Now people believe they could be
and zebras, everybody should pray taxes every day. And I'm going to give a shout out to Catholic schools too, because the one thing I respect about Catholic schools, which I did learn, is that even when Muslim kids, because there were Muslim kids that went to Catholic school too.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't speak on that. But when I found that out, I was like, oh, snaps, that's dope. Yeah. And there was Muslim teachers in Catholic schools as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they respected each other's religion. They knew, and like if a Muslim student, when it was time for the prayer or like the beginning of Ramadan and stuff like that, yeah, you know, they made the adjustments for them. There's a lot of schools that it went unnoticed. No one speak on it like that. But when I found that out, and it was one of the schools, I forget the school name, but it was one of the schools, and that's they do that. They make adjustments and you know, this, that, and third. And I said, that's how it's supposed to be, period. Religions are supposed to operate. Religion is better than one another.
And all religions acknowledge Abraham, right? The story of Abraham, right? So they're all praying to the same God, right? But there's just differences in where we believe, right? As Christians, we believe Jesus is the Son of God. He came down, he resurrected on the third day, rose, and he's here for our salvation, because other religions teach you to strive to be worthy of God. Christian is the only religion that says, no, no one's worthy of God, but through his son, we're forgiven, you know, because we all sin. We all sin. You can be the most righteous person you think you are, but at the end of the day, you don't go a day without sinning. You have an evil thought. You might have you might curse. You might, you know, something happens. You might have lustful eyes. Something happens. So we
and I'm guilty all that.
Yeah, right here.
I'm guilty all. I can raise my head and truthfully be like, yo,
but
that's me.
With my understanding now, man, is like I used to date a girl that identified as an atheist, and I'm like, how? You know what I'm saying? Like it was a short term relationship. Like I really liked her, appreciated her as a person. She was a beautiful person, but she just, I'm like, how do you not believe in God? You know, and like, I can understand where you get lost, and there's been painful times in my life where I might have questioned God too, but I've always came back. And maybe it's a little, how you say, not biased, but like a little bit, unfair on my side, because not everybody has signs in their life that they realize. I've had like spiritual intervention in my life multiple times. Not like every day I wake up and I'm talking to somebody, you know, a spirit or nothing, but like I've had defining moments throughout my life, like when I was 25, when I was 27, you know, in my early 30s, I had like these glimpses of like what's beyond here, you know. And I'm just like, yo, that's enough. I got to hold on to that. Like, it's easy to forget it sometimes. You go through life and you're like, oh, where's God at? You know what I mean? But then you're like, wait a minute. If I'm questioning God, like, remember that? Do you remember what happened? Like, do you remember that intervention that you had? Like, ain't no way you can forget about that, you know? So I would tell somebody if you're watching this and you identify as like an atheist, I would say this. Turn your phone off. Turn your TV off, turn off all the noise, find somewhere where you can get into like a nature environment. Even the city's got parks and stuff like that with birds and squirrels and all that, right? Find something like that. Put your feet on the ground, close your eyes, breathe, inhale, exhale, close your eyes, and watch the sunset or watch the sunrise. And do that with an empty mind for at least, you know, 5 minutes, and then try to tell me there's no God, man. Because that, you will see all the art better than any Van Gogh, Picasso, Michelangelo. You will see all the art that exists around you in creation. Creation is the number one artist, man. That God has shown us how to create. And everything we do is an image of God.
Oh. There you go. That's
true. I know we're getting deep here now. We didn't plan on talking about this. We just started going down this way.
I mean, but it's good, right? Yeah. Somebody has to talk about it, a different perspective, especially men. Yeah. Right? We can't always talk about him when things are rough or things are bad. We mm-hmm. have to give him presence every time, every chance we get.
Amen.
You can't just reach out. You can't just reach out when you need something. You got to reach out also to say thanks.
Yeah.
Even if it's for a second. I think, I don't know.
Nah, that's it. That's it, bro. You got the name, man. You got God talk. Let's go, man.
Let it out. You know you're going to say it.
What am I going to say? I don't know. It's not a difficult topic. It's a good topic. I think just people have different perspectives. I think is the argument of what religion is better. Why should you be here rather than just be grateful?
Yeah. I don't believe in religion, right? I believe in relationship. So whatever it is that brings you to God, you know what I'm saying? If you feel like you're connected to God, but all I know is I've seen some Hezbollah leaders come out in the last year and ISIS leaders, guys that are like, you know, devoted Muslims come forward and say they've had experiences where Jesus came to them. Because they do believe in Jesus too. If you look in the Quran, Isa is Jesus and they believe he's a prophet. But this is where it kind of bugs me out that they don't acknowledge him as the son of God because they don't believe Muhammad's coming back. But they do believe that Isa's coming back. They do believe that Jesus is coming back. So how can a prophet come back? You know what I'm saying? If a prophet is just a man speaking the word of God, how can a prophet be resurrected? That's where I find a disconnection there. And that's okay. One of my closest buddies is, one of my friends is Muslim. You know what I mean? And we agree to disagree. But we talk and, you know, it's good to try to enlighten each other. At the end of the day, we still have our beliefs and our faith. That's what makes us who we are. But as long as we follow that law of God, we can respect each other in disagreements, you know?
I mean, it's all about perspective. Everyone has at the end of the day, they have a valid point of view on certain things.
Yeah.
I think it's more about building, like you say, relationships, community, unity.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, essentially drives us together and forward rather than backwards.
Yeah.
I can't really opinionate, you know, religions or because I have my own relationship with him, right? I say in my alone time, I say my thank yous. I don't ask, I conversate.
Yeah.
And it's something I'll say that he's always been there for me.
Amen.
Always been there for me. And everything I've asked, he has given to me. Yeah. But that's the other thing. That's another conversation because a lot of people will like to ask and do not understand that conversation. Because when it's like they ask God, it's like you go to school for a test, but you don't study and you're praying to God that you get this right. Mm-hmm. You know, asking for something without work is nothing. You can't, he will open doors for you.
Yeah.
But you're the one who has to go.
But you got to do the work.
He will give you the strength, the inspiration, the motivation, the aspiration. It's solely you to do the work. You are the vessel who has to carry on.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, a lot of individuals tend to have this ideology and we're like, they're asking for God. And because they feel he doesn't come full circle for them.
Yeah.
Their disbelief, you know, evaporates.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Their belief evaporates. And that's,
they think he operates like the genie or something.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the things you gotta, I was talking to this with Nick earlier. It's one of the things you gotta be careful what you ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Because God doesn't, when you ask for strength, he gives you more things to deal with. Yeah. And more things to deal with. so that you can, it's like, you know, Nick, you're a personal trainer, right? It's like the more you work out, the stronger you become.
Mm-hmm.
The more you feel like you need more weight and more weight and more weight. And so you get accustomed to that weight. The same thing when you're asking strength, when you're asking God to give you strength, it's that same pattern. Yeah. The more you ask, the more he's going to give you.
Yeah.
And understanding that, like.
Yeah, I heard a video, something similar like that, mm-hmm. where it's like you ask for courage, he'll give you opportunity to be courageous.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So, like, I've seen that video, and it makes a lot of sense. And it gives, like, if you have that level of understanding, it gives you a good perspective of things, you know?
Yeah.
Like for me, for example, like, I pray every day, every night. And if I don't pray at night, because sometimes I probably just fell asleep or something, the moment I wake up, I'm praying. Or during the day, you know, I'm praying. And people always ask, I remember having this conversation with JP, and I told him, I said, I really don't know how to ask God for things or this and that. But I said, you know, I said, I'm just thankful that I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I wake up and I'm able to sleep. And my girls are still here and stuff like that. Oh, excuse me real quick. I'm sorry. This is my little young boy. I got to make sure he gets it real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
No, I, yeah. Yeah, man. It's, I pray throughout my day now. Now I've come to a point where if I find myself rotating back to some of my old ways, or if I find myself getting frustrated in a situation, I humble myself immediately and I say, you know, God, give me discernment on how to deal with this. How should I approach this? Like, take this away from me. Take the frustration away from me. Help me grow as a man. You know, that's one thing that men, in this day and age, we got to do better. The mass side of us, the masses of men, we're too prideful and we're too egotistical, and everything is a measure against each other. And it's like, that doesn't make you strong. You know what I'm saying? Strength.
But that's the conversation within itself. Like, what does it take to be a good man? What does it take to be a great man? Because there's some perspective that you got good men, and yet, because in today's modern society, where, you know, capital is judge and jury and executioner. If you don't got that, you're treating poorly. So what is defined to be a good man? You could be a good husband. You could be, as far as like you gentlemen, be a good father, and yet society will still castrate him no matter what. So what it entails if men among men, you know, it's like if they say there's no honor between, you know, thieves, and among men there's no honor either, because
need to build that back though, you know.
Yeah, if I turn my back and you're quickly to stick a knife in my bag, take my girl, take my money, or take my position, or quickly, when all you see me done is done right. Okay. So what is that then?
Yeah,
you know, because then we got these men who have what was that time you called it, Nick? Mega alpha mentality, and where they feel they need to lead the pack but don't know how to lead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The alpha, yeah. Alpha male.
I never
liked alpha males, period. I'm sorry. Alpha males.
Well, even if you identify as a sigma,
that means
you need an alpha, though. If you look at the structure of a pack, sigma is right there along. He's like the second, he's like a lieutenant.
I don't agree with the structure, and like, because I don't subscribe to it. Like, I tell people all the time, I'm outside the hierarchy and I'm still accomplishing the things with less alpha male attention and this and a third. Because what I realize is most alpha males, it's more of like trying to stroke their egos and and you know the bull crap that comes with it. So I always tell people, like, yeah, that right there, I done seen it.
And that's pride too. You got betas out here saying they alphas too.
Yeah, and I'm like,
I mean, it's like a pride thing.
Yeah, and I tell people all the time, like, that's not how I lead. I said, like, everybody know how I lead. Yeah, I'm a leader, of course, 100%. But I'm not an alpha. I'm not going to be the bragging and this and no. I'm going to show you.
No, but that's a fake alpha. That's not a real alpha.
Alpha. I'm going to lead by example.
Yeah, there you go.
Everything I've done in this world so far that I've been blessed to accomplish, I didn't do it by bragging. I put 10 toes down, and I was accomplishing it.
Yeah. Like, if you look at a wolf pack.
Anybody that ever asked for help or understanding, like, advice and this, that, and the third, I gave it to them. No hesitation. No, I didn't charge you. No, I didn't say, oh, no, you need to get in line. No. You want my help? Okay. I'm going to show you what I know.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the same thing I do in life all the time.
No, but what I'm trying to say is the poisonous of modern day society has misconstrued what an alpha is. An alpha is not a bully. An alpha is not somebody that comes around and brags and says, this is my ego. I'm better than you. That's not an alpha. An alpha is, if you look at a wolf pack, an alpha brunts the burden of all the tasks. Like, the alpha makes sure that everyone eats. The alpha makes sure that the pack is in order. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, you know, alpha and a sigma are very highly relatable.
I mean, it's Harry.
It's
Harry the Crown. Who wears it
out here now. They make
It's Harry. It's not regarding alpha or stigma, whatever. It's how you lead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they use these titles to make themselves bigger, right? Yeah. So it's essentially, you know, the heavy is the crown for the person who wears it, something like that, right?
Yeah.
It's how you lead. So how are you willing to lead? Because it's not about
lead selflessly.
Yeah, it's not about a hierarchy. It's about a structure and where for progression.
Yeah.
Is where your ideology belief lies at, is where your value. Because in order for it to progress, if we're three people and no one has a sense of direction, that means we can't lead. We need somebody to lead us. So it essentially is how we lead and what we choose, how we choose to lead. You know, other driven by ego.
I try to lead to through not religion, relationship, right? That's where I take it. When you say who's the alpha, like, I look to God to be the alpha and then follow his direction. Like, hey, I know you made me a leader. I know you made me a strong one. How do I help my kin? How do I help my brothers? How do I help my family, my friends that are around me, that we're all on one, you know, we're trying to build a thought process of how we can project and build this movement. So come into us and teach us how to guide each other, you know, because we take direction from each other. That's, you know, that a real leader is going to take his people's opinion. You know what I mean? Like, I'm watching The Chosen right now, like the Jesus show, and Jesus is the leader, right? He's the leader of the disciples, but he puts Peter, Cephas, he puts him in charge. He's like, he's the leader. So he's the rock that, you know, builds the temple. And that's basically a sigma role right there. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus is the alpha, but he gives the burden to Peter too, to get his disciples in order and we all be on the same page, you know?
I mean, but you could be a leader, but can you be a follower as well?
Yeah, you gotta be, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be able to. You can't become a leader if you never knew how to follow. That's the way I look at it, like, because it's a process, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a process. It's a learning process. And you learn from, like, following that first, and then that's when you realize, you get understanding, and you know, no, this ain't the right way. And that's when you start developing, you know, the leading leading ways and stuff like that, better ways to do, you know, you learn from everyone's mistake, including yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if you watch like stories of like leaders as they grew up when they were younger, they were watching and learning. Like, hey, their father was a leader, so they watched their father, or they watched their general, or whatever it was, you know, like Achilles or whoever it was. They was always learning from somebody. So yeah, you have to be humble enough to know that your knowledge comes from other sources. All of us, all our knowledge comes from outside of us.
Yep, I agree.
So I guess my question is, in today's modern society, and where, back then it used to be easy because everything was just white and black.
Yeah.
There was no in between. It's either yes or no. Because you can or you can't.
Yeah, there's too many damn options.
Right? Here in modern day.
No order.
In modern day, there's always a but and an if and an issue. Hmm. So how can you be?
They would remove that. Back in the day, they would remove that from their pack if they saw like somebody was just like a degenerate and was like against everything that was for the best of the team.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, "Oh, that person's problematic. That person is a poison to our growth. That's the Roundup to our flower." You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So. It's like Lucifer. That's what Lucifer was. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything really relates to biblical scripture, man, because like when you see that person at work that's just like, ah, why we got to do it like that? Why do we got to do this? And they're just a degenerate. They're following in the footsteps of Satan. You know what I mean? It's a pride. It's pride. Pride comes before the fall.
I hear that.
I agree.
Chad, again, my question is, how do we develop that in today's modern society? Because we have all this knowledge. We have those expertise and even wisdom, but how do we develop a better man? How do we develop a good man in today's modern era with all these factors?
Got to deal with open-minded people. People have to, you can't open somebody else's mind. You have to be working with somebody that's willing, right?
No, you just got to do.
But in order for it to work.
You got to do and they will follow.
True.
You got to do and they will follow.
From my perspective, because in my profession, I deal with a lot of business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are just very egotistical. You know, I mean, they're a business owner. They've been in business 20 years. They think they know it all. Not all of them. The ones that we work with and actually benefit are the ones that are like, hey, I don't know everything. What can you guys show me? How can you help me be better? Those are the people that
want it.
That actually do good, you know?
They want it.
Yeah.
I like, for me, how we get to that point, and sometimes you gotta take it old school. You gotta bring a little old school back. With a little remix to it, probably a two-step. You think I'm going to say, and you got to get these folks in line. And what I mean is, like, you got to implement that structure again. This new structure.
I'm gonna keep challenging because, yeah, like I said, what it's affecting is today's modern. We gotta learn how to adapt and evolve, right? So in today's modern in modern society, somebody would sit there and say, "Hey, you think old school? You're too old school. You're not with the modern days." So and again, what do we do?
So no,
how do we implement?
You mix the old school with the new school?
So we evolve.
Yes, you evolve it, because the thing is, there, and this is the truth, there is some things that are in a new school that the old school could use, and there's things that the new school
100%
that the old school, vice versa. You know, I mix my words up, vice versa. You know, each can help each other, they just got to be willing to understand,
yeah,
And it's like you said, open mind and everything like that. Because like I done got to a lot of youngins talking to them, and you know, sometimes I broke it down to them in an old school way, and they're like, and they're like, damn, yo, I ain't even realize you really get. I said, look, man, I'm gonna tell you, like, this is really what would happen if this, if you're doing this stuff right now back then, like, this is what's really going to happen to you. You know what I'm saying? I said, look, I had. I said, I came up in the era, in the last of the era where you had neighbors that would chastise you, that would check you, tell your mom what you did, tell your dad what you did.
You had a community.
You had a community. You had, like nowadays, you can't tell no parent what their child did wrong. Because every parent, damn near every parent, I ain't gonna say all of them, but damn near, they deny what their children is wrong. You know, my daughter's school, they called me one day. I talked to the teacher. He was relieved that he was able to talk to me and tell me what my daughter did wrong. And I said, look, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not one of those parents that's like, oh, my daughter's a saint. No, I love my baby girl to death. That's true.
Because you know your kid.
Right. But I know her. I know what she do. She get on my nerves too sometimes, but that's my baby girl. And when I got to check her, I check her. You dig what I'm saying? So he was really, he said, no, you don't understand. He said, yo, I be trying to talk to these parents and tell them about their kids, what their kids is doing wrong, and they just straight up ignore me. They don't care. They like, the kid is an angel. They're this and they're not doing it. It's a lot of parents out there today that are doing that. And I don't understand why. I don't get it. And I'm like, because I'm the type of person like this. If more than one person is saying the same thing about you every time you go somewhere new.
It's probably got to be something to look at.
It got
to
be something wrong with you. You got to be doing something. Yeah. The whole world can't be against you. Not saying it can't, because it could. But
I'm happy that this conversation went the way it went. Because honestly, I got some good enlightening for all of us here that we could look at. Because we're coming up on the end, gentlemen, of our young man days. We're coming up on the end of the young man era and coming into the middle-aged man era. We're not there yet, but we're almost there, right? So yeah, what we got to do
in a couple days, so
we got to start looking at, like, hey, because I'm reflecting on myself as we're talking about this. I'm like, you know what? In my 20s, I had some solid people around me that I could have worked with. And I could have made if I was a better leader. I was an egotistical, prideful young man. I was engulfed in my talents. And I thought, oh, I don't need nobody, right? Because I saw a shadiness. I saw a shadiness, like how Dio said, you turn your back and somebody put the knife in you, right? A lot of people operate that way, right? But instead of getting mad at them, if I was more grown and more intelligent on how to deal with them, I could have highlighted some of their good points, because everybody has good points. And I could have built off that. I could have said, hey, man, you do this really, really good. Why don't we put this together and work together and, you know, support each other? We'll lift each other up as we're doing it, you know, instead of being like, I see you, hater. I see you, shady. You know what I'm saying? I see you trying to holler at my shorty when I go to the bathroom. I see you cracking little jokes on the sideline when I'm up there performing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could have dealt with it better. You know what I'm saying? And we gotta be able to look at ourselves. That's how we get better, right? By looking at us and saying, hey, this is something that I fucked up with. I fucked up here. I did this. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm a human. And God didn't make me perfect, but he made me knowledgeable enough to see where I fucked up, and let me see how I can correct it. And if we could all do that every day, we're still young men, man. It's a lot of things we can still do out here. You know?
I'm into that. That's the best you can do.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the best you can do.
I definitely agree with that. That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, every day you're supposed to learn something.
Yeah.
If you don't learn nothing new every day, you ain't living.
Yeah. You can learn from somebody at the Wawa, man. You can learn from having a short conversation with a stranger, with somebody holding the door open from you.
You know what? Some of the best conversations I had with people, and it's crazy to sound, toll booths.
Yeah.
Going through the toll. The one time I pulled over, and the person was going on break, and he said, "Yeah, man, you know such and such." And we just talked. I forgot. He had something on, and it resonated with me. I forgot what it was. I think it was something that said on his shirt, whatever. And he's like, "Yeah, man, I'm about to go on break." I said, "Yo, I'm about to pull over real quick." I ended up talking to the guy for a whole hour. I didn't know him from the can of paint. But it was one of the best conversations I ever had.
Yeah.
It was pure and genuine. And we laughed and joked and da-da-da, and, you know, went on our ways and shit. And he was like, he said, "Yo, you know, you still got a long..." I said, "Bro, I'm driving to Georgia right now." I said, "I could put another hour on it because I got like 7 more hours to go anyway."
You know, I wanna say something. I've been here just quietly listening to you guys speak. And, you know, I'm very happy and very proud to see you come so far, both of you. Because when I first initially met you two, like a year ago for Jordan, almost 3 years, Nick, you guys had that same mentality, but wasn't implying it. You had every little thing just pushing what one considers to be their full potential away from them, and yet you have come here, and adequately speak about these transitions, these evolutions, these experience, in a way that are highly influential, not for me, but for those who are listening and viewing this. So.
Yeah.
Glad to see
that's what we're here for, man. We're here to help each other. Yeah. Help anybody we can, man. And
yo, like real stuff. Like, it's funny how we all met, right?
Yeah.
Deal, I met you through
podcast
Carlton Irvin as a guest. And we've been cool ever since. Everybody don't know this about Jordan, but Jordan sold me my truck. He sold me my truck, and that's how me and him became cool.
The limited edition. Don't get it twisted. It was the limited edition Citadel.
Yeah, it was the Citadel, the Oshin Wrangler Citadel. That thing, that I love that, man. I did so much in that truck. Yeah, to keep it PG though, but you know,
like, it might have had a bullet hole in it.
Bullet hole too. Yeah, it had a bullet hole.
It was from auction.
Yeah. Yes, the truck had a bullet hole. They like,
no, but it was incognito. It was behind the license plate.
It was a dope truck. I missed that truck. It did serve its purpose well. But yeah, I met Jordan from selling me my truck, and we like instantly clicked when we first introduced each other and just start talking. Yeah. And like, the crazy thing is, when I walked in there, right? You know, it was a couple other salespeople that tried to talk to me. I said, "No, man, I'm talking to this guy right here." Okay. You know? And they would say, "Well, damn, you know, da, da, da." I was like, "Sure." I said, "No, man, look, I need to talk to him." Like, I said, "I know, yeah. I got to talk to him."
Well, a good thing about being a salesman for so long, you get to meet all different types of people, and you can tell who's a good conversationalist, who's a good person. And you can kind of read people's energy. And, you know, there's some customers I wouldn't give my phone number to if they pay me $10,000 to put it. You know what I mean? But then there's customers you come across and you're like, "Yo, I genuinely vibed with that person. That person was cool. I'm going to reach out to them and say, what's up?" And that's exactly how we became friends. Like, we was talking crypto. He told me to buy Ethereum when it was like $68. And I should have. And I said, "I'm going to wait till it drops a little bit more." I was being cheap. I had the money to buy like 2 or 3 of them. I was like, "Ah, let me be cheap." That weekend, it went to 120. I called him.
over the weekend, I'm like, yo, it went up to 120. He's like, buy it now. I was like, nah, I'm going to wait. Maybe next week it'll go back down to 60 again. And then boom, thing was up 7 G's or something like that.
Hey. Yeah. Like that's how me and Hobie became.
Get into crypto. Listeners, get into crypto now.
Truck in crypto, and I was telling him about it. I said, bro, I'm a firm believer in it. And I said, it's going to go up. I said, they can't stop this. And, you know, people look at me like I was crazy. And I said, no, they can't stop it. I said,
you're still eating off of some of that, ain't you?
I done profited all of it. I done paid certain debts and stuff. Off of it. I restarted my portfolio again. And now I'm looking at investments. Like, you just, the only issue with crypto now is that you just have to be careful with what
investments you
actually buy into, because some of them are scams and rug pulls, yeah, where so they get you in.
Yeah.
And they get you. You know what I'm saying? So you got to do some in-depth research now.
Hey, if you buy 5 million SHIB right now, if you buy about 5 million shares of SHIB right now, it probably costs you, what, $150, maybe $200 or tops? Well,
I got, like,
if it gets to 1 cent, that's $50K right there.
I got 4 million or 5 million already that been sitting in cold storage.
So when you get to a cent, you're good. Yeah,
I just bought it and held it, and that was it.
It's going to a cent. It's definitely going to a cent.
Once they do the convergence, the Hollow Fuel hot token will rise. I got like 222,000 tokens of that joint, and I never bought no more because you know, the United States, they banned it, so I had to, you know, you got to maneuver going different exchanges to get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, certain things I still hold on in cold wallets and stuff like that, and hopefully they do blow up, you know, and I got in low with
not them, even so. Blow up, just a cent. If it get to a cent, right? If it get to a cent, you got 5 million shares, that's $50K.
Yeah, like for me, 50 cent. If we get to 50 cent, there we go.
Oh, then you're going to be what, 5 million, 2.5 mil?
Yeah, we'll bankrupt half the world.
Listen,
but see, it's good for having non-believers too, because that way everybody won't buy into it. You know what I mean? There's a lot of non-believers like, oh, that's whatever.
Yeah.
So that's how we still get the opportunity.
Yeah.
I hear that. Get them when you can, right?
What's Bitcoin right now? 68K?
Yeah. It went up, dropped a little bit, a little pullback, and I think it went up again.
Listen, it's about that time. Listen, before we go,
it's about that time for us to
tell one thing you're grateful for. Let the people know one thing you're grateful of.
I'm grateful for being on the podcast with these guys, these fine gentlemen, having intelligent conversation. Happy to know I'm not the only one out here that's engulfed in booty cheeks and TikTok, and that's as deep as the convo goes. I mean, I enjoy those conversations too, don't get me wrong. But...
All right. Well, I'll piggyback off that. I am grateful for you guys. I'm grateful that I met you guys. But I'm grateful for understanding and realizing the man I am. I would never change that. And I would never, you know, switch up.
Dio's laughing over there. What's going on?
Because he sounds like he's about to go into his R&B.
Nah.
he's like, yeah, uh-huh. So, yeah. I'm thankful because of me. Me.
Like he's leaving his, he's leaving a girlfriend a voice message.
Yeah, like, nah, but look, I'm like,
saying. Damn, Rick, I'm just trying to say.
I'm grateful for being able to be a dad, truthfully told. It's one of the proudest, if not the most proudest thing I am in this world, besides my, you know, firm belief in God and everything. But being a dad is just...
I'm trying to be serious. And Dio got me cracking up, man.
I know.
I can't.
Dio, like, yo, he's spitting to the ladies. He's
I can't.
He's
making a boyfriend commercial.
Yeah. The only thing missing is, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, oh, hey, look.
He said, I'll raise your son, girl. Come on.
I'm a good daddy.
I'll be your salvation, ladies. I love y'all. Nah, man, but look, peace to the world, man. I love everybody, man. Just God don't bless, try to rob me or jump me or something like that, because I will F you up.
Oh, no, that ain't going to happen. We God's children, but we...
Yeah, we God's children.
Them the hands will swell up on your face.
The devil got some soldiers, too, so, you know, I'll be prepared for them, too. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's what I'm grateful for, though. And I'm grateful, in fact, I'm able to even breathe there, because I'll say this live. You know, about two and a half weeks ago, I was hospitalized, barely could breathe, suffocated. I lost 21 pounds in a week. I was effed up, you know.
COVID 2.0.
Yeah, it was like COVID 3.0, whatever else it was, you know. And if I didn't go to the hospital, I more than likely would have died, because I didn't realize I was, like, you know, struggling with my air. I didn't realize I was losing air. Like, I'm just thinking it's just like, you know, it's just a regular cold. It's nothing, nothing. And when I got there and they told me, like, hey, man, we glad you came in, because if you didn't and you went to sleep or it continued, like, you could have possibly died, you know? So I'm grateful for that. And I'm happy that I'm still here.
Well, I'm happy you're here, bro. Thank you for sharing. I know it must have been tough. You're here, you're living, you know, you're throwing a little, you know what I'm saying? So you're good.
You slide out there. You know, girl, I'm bouncing off that COVID-32.
Philly. Listen, before we go, please tell the people where they can find you at.
Go ahead, Jerry, you go first.
All right, yeah. So the handle is on IG, Needle with God. TikTok, been utilizing TikTok more, Needle with God, NITO with God. Sharing some daily bread on there, but also sharing some musical talents, some poetry, some spoken word. We're going to be doing some music this year too again. Gonna head out to New York. It's been a while. So hopefully when we get out there, we see Dio over there too. We go get some pizza or something. Yeah.
All right, I'm Nick Espinoza, _215. I @ Look Out for Falsely Accused. The next movie, I'm doing a short film. I'm going to be the main character, the main guy character. It's called Grass Ain't Greener. Shout out to Mark 5 for believing in me, showing me love, always 100% support, and I always appreciate you guys' support in my journey and his acting stuff. So I'll be, you know, you probably see me a little bit more. And my Facebook page, Reconstruction Espinoza. That's it. You'll see me there. Sometimes I post, sometimes I don't. But trust me, Lee, when the projects drop and you start seeing it and the skits are coming, y'all just look out. 2024, you probably see all three of us in one of my skits. So, like,
we're
going to make it happen. But that's where you can find me. That's what I do. Peace and love. Blessings to everyone. I wish y'all nothing but pure happiness and, you know, true understanding of life. You know, I wish that for everybody.
Amen.
Amen. Boom.
Yo, y'all can hear my soundboard? Because I tried to put the applause in there for him. Can y'all hear that?
No.
I tried to put that. It's the medieval.
Listen, thank you for joining us on Facebook Live. First episode ever going live on Facebook.
I gotta share that.
Thank you for supporting the podcast. Make sure you go to Deal Talk TV on YouTube, like and subscribe. Go follow me at Mr.DreamInspireObtain on Instagram. Go to my website, DreamInspireObtain.com. Buy some merch and remember, whatever you do, do it to the fullest. Do it to the fullest. No excuses. Gentlemen, I wish you the best of luck. Looking forward to see what you guys offer.
Well, you win last year. Not to be too humble, because we haven't been on the mic with you since you won your award, man. Don't be too humble now. Let them know. You missed the jersey.
Yeah, he's an award winner. Jersey award winner.
You know who the fuck to talk to.
Yeah, I mean...
You know, a little something.
I guess so.
You know what I mean?
We humble. Like, you know, we humble. We just. This shit.
We humble, but you gotta celebrate small wins, not big
yet.
Wins, all that.
Not yet. I'll let you know when it's time to celebrate. Not yet. We're all still building over here.
Well, we saying congratulations. I'm
thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. God damn it. It's about time somebody congratulated me. Thank you, gentlemen. It's been an honor and privilege talking to you. It's always fun to talk about these topics, these issues, especially as men, to share our point of view, because most often the point of view that shared regarding us as men is not the best. It gives me hope, and we're moving in a better direction, whether it's with God, whether it's being a good father, good parent, and do your best. But you know, don't ever hesitate. We whoop your ass too, you know. Anyway,
gentlemen, you heard it. You heard it here.
I'm out.
All right, good night.